So remember, you put the fire down, right? You get stuck in, you kick their fucking teeth out, or I guarantee you, Joe, they'll be having a zombie takeout for breakfast, sunshine. What's up? Welcome to episode 61 of Zombie
Werewolf Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And this week, we don't have any listeners submitted, so we'll just jump straight into the movie.
Yeah, we were kind of, you know, bogging ourselves down with that anyway. Change of pace. Let's get right into it.
Right into the movie. Another horror movie, which is a rarity for us.
A werewolf movie?
Yes.
Is this our first?
I believe it is. We've done a couple of
songs. Why do I ask that every time?
Well, yeah, which is why I say horror movies are kind of a rarity for us, but we've done a couple of zombies, but I think this is our first werewolf.
Yeah.
And it is from 2002, Dog Soldiers.
And I think that
brings us to Scotto's impromptu plot summary, brought to you
by... Well, wait a minute. This week, we've replaced our sponsor with...
Really?
Yappy's Doggy Treats!
That, folks, is a callback.
Thank you very much. All right, this one is a doozy here. We have a soldier who's trying to get into the special ops, a Private Cooper. I'm wondering what that name has any significance, because there we'll get to
it. I don't think his name does.
Yeah. But he's trying to join special ops. He passes all the tests, but... he is not allowed in because he will not kill a dog in cold blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was maybe taking things a little too literally at times with the whole dog soldier thing. But, you know, that could just be me.
Well, it's a reference to the werewolves.
Yeah, I know.
And it probably has some other meaning that I don't know.
Boy, you're getting ahead of me. Actually, there was like the Indian soldiers in the out in the West.
Okay.
Yeah. But he takes this and it means... werewolves, you had to jump ahead.
All right. Well, I said it's our first werewolf movie.
A non-linear plot summary. So we have he fails. He does not get into special ops. He goes back to his old unit, and they're having some sort of training exercise against special ops for some reason, which I don't think ever really happens.
No, but,
you know,
because they get their asses kicked.
Well, right. They're special ops for a reason, and they usually have training exercises with other units of the same army, same division, and I'm probably using my military vocabulary, but you know what I'm talking about.
It was misused in the movie, actually, at points.
It was.
We'll get to that.
So the special ops were there, actually, to capture a werewolf, as it turns out.
Now you know why he wanted him to shoot the dog.
Right. You find out that's why he wanted him to shoot the dog, because it's pretty much an animal itself. Mm-hmm. I'm giving away some of the... it's a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, but... the thing with this movie is that there isn't really any surprises.
Not so much.
We'll get into that in a bit. The special ops were there to really capture a werewolf to, of course, you know, the whole government military secret test thing. Mm-hmm. And, well, it all goes awry.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarity did not ensue here.
Well, that's points.
Sure. Well, no. Not intentionally did not ensue.
Mm.
At least for their purposes. Yeah. Because there turned out to be more than one werewolf.
Right.
They travel in packs. Well, who would have thunk
they're
it?
They're dogs.
You were kind of expecting when they made that revelation, someone to turn and say, well, no shit. They're wolves. They're going to travel in packs.
Mm.
And, well, this the special ops unit gets wiped out entirely, leaving just the commander that refused.
Yeah, was the guy who wanted Cooper to shoot the dog, of course.
Right. And then, of course, hilarity ensues from here because most of the unit gets, well, up against the werewolves, and they get boarded up in a house, and it's your classic military siege movie, only with werewolves.
And there was a little bit of, if you didn't get the from the title Dog Soldiers, there was a surprising bit of foreshadowing, surprisingly obvious, when it starts off with these two campers, this couple. And of course, there has to be the initial werewolf attack.
Right.
She gives him a silver letter opener.
Yeah, which was just out of nowhere.
Except I thought he would survive it, because I figured he would use it and, you know, kill the wolf. But, of course, they don't.
Well, yeah, I was kind of expecting that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to run into this guy, and he was going to be the guy that said, oh, you know, I've been out here fighting these bastards for all this time. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen.
And another thing I liked was that they didn't take too long for that initial attack. They didn't tease it for like 5 minutes.
No.
With all these things happening. You see the wolf at the, you know, scratching at the front of the tent, and then it's done. You know.
Well, it was kind of neat how they did it too, like the zipper and the zipper and all that. And there's a lot of really nice things that this writer-director Neil Marshall pulled in this. I thought you were going to get right into the names and the references to other movies.
We'll get. Do you want to get into that?
I don't know. It's so prominent. There's just something.
Just a bit of trivia to start that off. Sergeant Harry G. Wells. Get it? H.G. Wells.
Yes.
Who was the ended up being the leader? He was the leader of the squad or section, more accurately.
Yeah.
That, you know, ends up the one that Cooper goes back to.
Well, you know, and they never actually mention his name. I didn't know about the name.
I think Wells was used once, but they never gave his first or middle initial.
I didn't know about these names until I looked up the IMDb.
It was a sort of an inside joke, or I guess his writing was a little uncreative.
He was a fan of H.G. Wells.
It was all fan service, but it was fan service for himself, I guess.
Yeah.
Harry G. Wells, who was Cooper's immediate superior in the squad, simple way to put it, was played by Sean Pertwee, who is the son of John Pertwee, best known for being the third Doctor.
Ah, right. And we were like off the air one week. We were looking up that there is a production of Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
where he plays Macbeth. And there's like Richard Coyle and Steve Davenport from Coupling in it too. So we have to dig that up somehow.
Oh, yeah. So back to the names. Yes. You have H.G. Wells.
Right.
My favorite, because it's not even, she's not even trying to coach it. Bruce Campbell.
Yes. Corporal Bruce Campbell.
Those are the only two I remember offhand. What were some of the others?
Well, because there were, early on, before they really show you the wolves, mm-hmm. the werewolves, they're completely using the Evil Dead 1 speedy camera thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he uses in the very beginning before he fully introduces the werewolves. I'm wondering if there's a connection with Megan and Ryan.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
The characters do have a connection. I won't give that spoiler away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like I said, there are no spoilers.
I think that may have just been happenstance, because most of the references were kind of geeky.
Everything is, well, it could just be his favorite actress.
Could be. Or again, just desperate for names.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if Witherspoon might be, why am I thinking of Carl Weathers? I don't know. Because there's definitely a Predator vibe to this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, if I had to analogize to any other movies, Predator would really be the one. I mean, he's not the super soldier, he's not Arnie, but it's that being claustrophobic, being hunted kind of a thing.
Now, actually, there's the movie that Predator took from, Aliens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where you have the space marine.
And there's definitely an obvious reference to that.
Yeah.
What does she say? Well, there was a line. Can we even give the line without being way spoilery.
Oh, I don't know. Which line are you thinking of?
Megan's line. When you find out who she find out her secret.
Oh, I think we just spoiled the whole damn thing.
Well, I just said she had a secret, and then there was a line involved.
She's gay?
Anyway, she has a line just before you find out something. When you're about to find out something about her, that is almost a direct ripoff from Aliens. Reference, I should say. There's also one other thing that was a little too on the nose for my tastes.
What's that?
There's a scene where Megan's playing piano. Maybe because I'm, a musician, I pick up on these things, but she was playing Clair de Lune.
Yeah.
A little on the nose.
Well, they said that it was... They're saying that it could also be a nod to Werewolves, American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yes, yes. All of these soundtrack was songs that had to do with the moon, yeah.
I almost called it Werewolves of London. Really, they should have just called the movie that, if you think about it. If you had a song that great on your soundtrack,
right.
Just change the movie title.
Slightly inaccurate, but yeah.
Well... I don't know. It just comes off. It rolls much easier than an American Werewolf in London.
Oh, you mean the original movie, not this?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. They should have called it Werewolves in London. Of London. Yeah.
Yes. Just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I agree. Also, one thing I learned from this movie, this maybe should have been my "What have we learned?" But I'll get into it now. My British nearly isn't as good as I thought it was.
What do you mean?
There were a lot of things I didn't follow. They're not in terms of the story of the plot, but a lot of lines I did not understand. A lot of Britishisms that I don't know, apparently. I can't think of examples, but...
The only one that I was kind of confused about was bone, or whatever that was.
I think he made that one up.
Yeah, okay. Other than that, I think I was pretty...
I was able to follow, but there were a couple of, phrases and idioms that I didn't know.
Huh. No, I can't think of any off the top of my head that it was lost on. The one thing that that maybe they should have learned about this was that Scotland really isn't that big. Like, when they said nothing was 4 hours away, and I'm like,
yeah.
What? I mean, in 4 hours, can't you drive down to, like, London?
I think that was on IMDb as part of the trivia. They say that at one point, and in fact, nothing in Scotland is 4 hours away from anything else in Scotland.
Okay. But there was just the whole time, the sense of time in this. It felt like so much had happened, and they said, well, how much time before dawn? 6 hours.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, but I think that's to the movie's credit. It is very slowly paced, which is rare for a horror movie. And it just gives you that sense of everything kind of closing in.
Think of everything that had happened before that point in time.
Yeah.
How long is this night, really? 20 hours?
Do we really want to criticize it for being unrealistic? I mean, it's a horror film.
I know.
I'm blanking on Pertwee's character, the Sarge.
Yeah, that's really all you have to know. He's Sarge.
Wells. Yeah, that's true. I always call him Sarge. He literally gets his guts ripped out.
Yeah.
And yet still manages to walk, probably half a mile, holding his guts in.
But that also happens with Cunningham, Ryan.
Ryan. Yeah.
It's obvious why.
Well, even though you would think he would have bled out, after about 10 feet. And the other one that gets me, that's a valid argument. But at one point, who was the character's name? When Bruce Campbell.
How could you forget Bruce Campbell?
Yeah. When he impales himself on the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's running away from... I don't know if they know they're wolves yet or not.
No, they don't.
They don't. They're just running away from something.
Right.
He runs into a tree branch. Impales himself. Okay, he's running hard enough to send this branch through his rib cage out the other side.
I had wondered At first, I was like, well, that was kind of clumsy of him. But then I was wondering if the wolf was actually holding or, helped him with that a
Perhaps the
bit.
wolf pushed him, but you
Because
get.
he was right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at first, that's what I was like, wow, that's pretty. And then the wolf was there, so I was saying, okay, maybe.
Maybe the wolf did push him on the
Maybe.
branch. I got the impression that he just ran into it, which, no.
So I was cool with all of that happening, because they do explain it, why, it's not realistic,
Yeah.
but there's an explanation
I
for
think
it.
I put the note about Sarge in my notes before the big reveal, so.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I put in my notes was, this is without seeing the rest of the movie, when they were asking what people fear, and his was something about like, I'm afraid I'll never see my wife
Right,
again or
right.
something. I was like, wow.
Yeah,
If
red
that's not
shirt.
like, if that's not like the dead meat scene from Hot Shots, I don't know what
Yeah.
is. How's that work on the Kennedy assassination going? Well, I think I have a big reveal, but I'll let you know after the mission. How's that cure for cancer coming along? Oh, well, great! I'll let you. I'll tell you all about it after the mission.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, I don't know, that kind of bugged me. It was that there were no surprises.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a movie that you will want to go back and watch
It's
again.
no, it's I mean it's for me this is the second time I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's fun once in a while. It's a good ride.
Oh, right,
But
definitely.
it's not something you'll notice something new each time. No, definitely not.
No. No, because everything is right there spelled out for you. You really can't miss it. You kind of wish that the soldiers were a little smarter too, because there's so many questions that you're confronted with, but they're just they seem to miss it. Why when they get into the house, why does it look like they abandoned it, in the middle of a meal with stuff still going on the stove? Where did this family go? Why isn't there any sign of a struggle or blood or anything?
Okay, abandoning it in the middle of the meal. Okay, I bought that because they wolf got in, they had to run.
Where the hell are
But
you gonna run in the middle of that?
more to the point, why was there no struggle?
Right.
That was the weird part.
Right. So,
At points, it almost seemed like the wolves may have been smarter than them.
Well, definitely. And you kind of, these were trained soldiers, so you were kind of hoping that they'd get more of a clue than what they had. Like, you knew, or I'm saying, if you were one of the soldiers and you knew Captain Ryan had some knowledge of what you were up against, you would make damn sure.
Any all manner of torture just to get it out of him, yeah.
But they didn't even try.
No.
It was just kind of, well, are you going to tell us? No. Okay, whoa, did you hear that? They were just onto something else.
Yeah.
The same when they, well, when they realized that Captain Ryan and Megan, or Meg Ryan, knew each other from before this and had worked together, start interrogating her. But no. Well, let's just find out more about these werewolves when we see them.
Yeah.
So that's really the only thing that bothered me out of this. Those are the only blemishes I can find on this, really.
I mentioned that Sarge is a bit of a red shirt, and that leads to something I thought was incredibly cool, the Kobayashi Maru reference.
Well, right.
That was pure geek fan service, throwing out Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah.
Because it had really had nothing, well, didn't have much to do with the plot. They could have cut that
No.
part entirely, and it would have had almost no effect on the movie.
Right. And I do love the references that they throw in here, because there really isn't much that's actually original about this movie, but it's nice to see that they throw other things in on top of it, just to it's just for the fun of it, really, is what it
Exactly.
comes down to.
There was very little original. There were very few surprises. It's just fun.
It's kind of funny that we were doing this right after we did Ice Pirates. So last week we had the really bad knockoff, and this one,
We have a good knockoff.
Yeah, we have someone that's, well, they weren't doing it for the commercial purposes that Ice Pirates was doing. They were doing it because they were fans of the originals.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't like space alien, space marines,
And then werewolves, and yeah.
Yeah.
He just basically took the best of all of these different genres and smushed them together.
Right. I mean, actually, I think I like this better than Predator.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think, I mean, Predator wasn't a bad movie, but I think a lot of the people there were just a little too, self-conscious,
And in general, with the Army movies and that whole action hero ilk, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, there were no surprises in this one, but you weren't really sure the order or who was going to die, With an Arnie movie, everyone's dead except him.
Right. Pretty much. It is going to go down like that.
And he and none of them were superheroes in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. These were just, the Space Marines.
Yeah.
Just in Scotland / Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm. Slightly less than your typical trained soldier, as you pointed out.
Right. Right. And maybe that's what they were going with.
Yeah, they made them relatable. That's I think a big part of what makes the movie work is they are so flawed that it makes them more relatable and makes it a little more tense when they get to the house and it gets all claustrophobic and, people start dropping.
The problem with that though is they held their own better than the special ops did.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
again, we're not going for realism here.
The fight scene with Spoon. Do you really think Spoon would have been able to last that long against this thing one-on-one? And actually, the only reason why they got Spoon was because another one came in to help?
Right. Yeah, Spoon, if it were realistic, Spoon being the runt of the litter, if that were realistic, it would have been Scream, Chomp, done.
Right. Now, granted, this led to one of the best lines.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best lines I've ever heard in a movie, actually. I mean, this could rank up there. Right before I know we're spoiling it, before the wolf is about to eat him, he looks at the werewolf and says, "I hope I give you the shits."
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I've ruined that for you, but...
There was actually, for me, that is a great line, but the part that always gets me, and I was complaining about the Sarge, surviving with his injuries before, but
right.
It did lead to what I think was the funniest part of the movie. The dog trying to eat him.
That was kind of out of nowhere.
But it was hilarious. Megan's got this little dog.
Yeah.
And at one point, it starts playing tug of war with his intestines.
Was that a bandage or an intestine?
I assume it's an intestine because it's meat. He's going to try to eat it.
So as you can tell, this is probably one of the goriest movies.
Oh, absolutely.
We've done, and we've done some pretty good ones.
If you were at all squeamish, do not watch this movie.
Right.
It's done not extremely well, but it's done pretty well.
Lots of sausage links.
It's not Blood Rain. It's not, fruit punch spewing from mannequins. It looks, if you have a problem with gore, you will have a problem with this movie.
Yeah, Uwe Boll should have been taking notes on this.
Yeah.
This is how it was done. And this is what Uwe Boll, was trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
Was to create a ride like this that you can just, you shouldn't think too much about and just go along with.
Mm-hmm.
But, the problem is Bold usually does it in such
a rapid
way, that you really don't get interested in anything.
Right.
And it's hard to follow along.
Bold tends to bite off a bit more than he can chew. He thinks a little too highly of his abilities.
Now, one of the most impressive things about this with Neil Marshall, this is his first feature-length movie.
Oh, yeah. And from what I understand, it was practically independent.
Right. Well, yeah, like the government of Luxembourg.
Well, he had to get agreement to film over there, and yeah.
I think they helped fund it, too.
They did? Okay.
If I was gathering that right from the credits.
All right.
Yeah.
But still, Barry, you can tell he didn't have a whole lot of resources. He didn't have a lot of money behind him.
It's cool. I mean,
yeah.
They said it was, oh, I had the budget here, but
Probably a lot smaller than your average Arnie movie.
you know, I had the budget and lost it.
Okay.
So sad.
Now, a couple of notes about possible casting. Bit of trivia here.
Yeah.
Jason Statham was originally the top runner to play Cooper, but he had to back down. But he chose to take the part in Ghosts of Mars instead.
I don't know if that was a good move.
Okay, this is kind of a bad decision, good decision thing here,
Yeah.
because that was the bad decision, of course.
Right.
Simon Pegg was offered a role in the film, but turned it down because Edgar Wright asked him to save his first horror role for Shaun of the Dead.
Which, of course, was
The
an
good
awesome
decision,
decision, yeah.
yes.
I didn't have the budget. That's what it
Oh,
was.
okay.
That nobody has the budget.
But I get the impression that it wasn't much,
No,
because it's they're running around in the woods, and then they get to the house. It's basically two scenes.
well, they do have a helicopter and stuff.
Oh, they helicopter at the beginning, yeah.
Or helicopter,
Yes,
as some
they
pronounce it.
would have said in if this was Godzilla, yes.
I'm just full of callbacks this week. I don't know why.
Now, again, I think one of my only criticisms is it just me or did the fight scenes get a bit silly?
Well, the aside from the fact that I said before that they hold their own a little too
Well,
well against the
aside,
werewolves.
well, that's the, that's of course they are. They will. They're the good guys, but they get a little cartoonish. You know, the hop, the boiling water in the face of the werewolf and. A couple of the lines, you know, I don't think they'd be throwing out quips if they, you know, these guys were fairly undertrained soldiers and they're throwing out quips fighting werewolves.
Oh my God, you know what I just thought of? The camera flash to the face.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
How did I not think of that?
So, yeah, there's another homage that we didn't catch until now.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun that
It
they
was they
did
were
some
fun, but
crazy things like that. But
I it definitely fun, but I think it affected the tone a little bit because there were points where he went for really dead serious intense, and then you know the wolves would break in or attempt to break in, they'd start killing, you know, start fighting, and all of a sudden it got cartoonish.
right, the tone, you know, I was kind of, I did not from the actual movie itself, but the end with the little newspaper headline,
Yeah.
I thought it really didn't fit the movie, you
No,
know.
no.
I thought, you know, they didn't really need to crack some jokes about that, you know.
Yeah. One of the soldiers, I forget which one, was upset because there was a big footy match on that night that he wanted to see, the night they were doing the maneuver, the training exercise. And at the end, you see the newspaper with the score.
Right, and then of course the other articles about what happened
Yeah.
here. And it's kind of done in a tabloidish fashion, so it's a little cheeky, as they would
Well,
say.
I think that the tabloid thing fit because, frankly, you know, a bunch of soldiers getting killed in a wolf in what appears to be a dog an animal attack would go to the tabloids.
Yeah, but it, kind of up until then, you really have the whole, you know, they're the band of brothers, you know,
Right, right.
that, and it felt like he didn't really need to go there because we actually do give a shit about these characters.
Right.
He actually
He did
built
that brilliantly.
the characters well enough where you actually are right there and into it. So, you know, there are other directors I could think of where you could just kind of joke around at the end of who cares, these guys
Yeah,
died.
right.
But here, you don't need to do that. Just take it at face value and go.
Right. And I think showing a bit of the news coverage was a nice touch, but yeah, the way it was handled, I mean, he may as well have had the newspaper spinning. You know, he
Now,
might as well have used that old gag.
of course, I say, you know, they had a lot of serious things, but there were some of the things, some of the sight gags that, man, and I don't, I hate to spoil this for someone that's not seeing it coming, but the goddamn flying cow
Oh yeah.
was straight from Holy
Oh
Grail.
yeah, I think it was another nod.
I mean, I have it in my notes, you
Yeah.
know, just this so Holy Grail with like four exclamation points after it.
That had to be, because why would it throw a, this is before you know about the wolves, and they're camping out, and a cow pretty much lands almost right on top of their campfire.
I was expecting to see John Cleese in the tree going, you know, Kindigans, I wave my private parts at your auntie.
And that had to be a reference because, well, okay, you know, having seen the movie, you assume the wolf threw it.
Right.
Why would it throw a piece, a kill, food? Why would it throw so much food that it didn't eat? It just had a chunk taken out of the neck. It would finish eating the thing, and maybe the carcass would be, the bones would be end up thrown.
That didn't bother me. But what bothered me was that they just didn't even go to investigate.
Like who threw this cow at them, yes.
Who flung the cow at me? Now, granted, I was laughing a little too hard to really be bothered by it.
Right,
that much, because it's just such an irresistible reference to make.
Mm-hmm.
that outrageous accent.
But that's what I mean, is there are points that it just, and that was a reference, that had to be a reference.
Oh, yes. No, that
there are just points where it gets a little silly. Another bit of trivia, this isn't fun. In the scene where Wells asks Cooper to knock him out, because they have to perform surgery on him when he's, you know, got his guts literally hanging out.
Yes.
Kevin McKidd, who played Cooper, throws a stage punch the first time, but misjudges the distance of the second and catches Sean Pertwee on the nose. Pertwee didn't feel the punch because he was actually drunk for the scene.
Ah, that's a good method acting there.
Oh, yeah.
Little technique. I think I've said all I need to say about the
I think I've got most of my notes out of the way. Let's see. Yeah, I think I've got them all done. Sequels and remakes, yeah.
Now, there was talk of a sequel to this.
There was. A sequel, Dog Soldiers Fresh Meat, was planned. Love that title. And it was said that the story would pick up from the end of the first film. Neil Marshall was not involved with the production, neither was the cinematographer Sam McCurdy. Production designer Simon Bowles, or any of the original cast.
Let me guess, Uwe Bold.
No. Rob Green was penciled in for the directing duties. Don't know who he is.
I don't know either, but it disappeared.
Yeah, it was announced in 2006. By 2008, information about the film had been removed from various web sources, and there's been no talk of it since.
Shelved. And deservedly so.
You don't need a sequel. What is it going to be? Cooper having PTSD?
Well, right. I mean, I suppose you could say he would, you know, it's him trying to make his way home, but how?
Yeah.
If he's as far as they said he is in the middle of nowhere, how is he going to fight his way out of that? He doesn't even have any more ammo or weapons.
Right. He just has to find a way to survive until dawn.
Right. And what's it going to be, another 20-hour night?
Yeah.
No.
You're leaving it assuming that he survives just because he's that guy.
Well, right.
But the odds are against it, and there's really nowhere to go with a sequel unless you have someone else getting attacked by the same band of wolves, which is just unnecessary.
Right. Well, you can't spoil it.
Not sure what I said, but anyway.
Well, no. I said what I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
It's obvious. It's obviously there cannot be a sequel at the end of this.
Right.
There is no room.
Yeah. And remakes, I think it's too soon.
It goes up in smoke, if you will.
Oh, yes, I forgot that part.
A code. I'd be very subtle.
Yeah. So, anyway, and I think it's too soon for a remake.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe in another 10 years, it would be good to see, you know, what someone good can do with it. Not saying Neil Marshall isn't good, quite to the contrary, but to see, you know, another good director's take on the idea.
It is awesome that this was his first feature length.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, it would be interesting to see maybe, you know, more money put into the actual werewolf costumes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another thing worth noting. There is no CGI in the movie.
Yeah.
It's all practical effects, guys in suits on stilts and what have you. And probably sausage for the guts.
It probably was, because they actually refer to it as that. So you're thinking, you know, that's what they're doing.
Well, that's what sausage is. Well, casings anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, Henson's company, you know, would if they went back.
I just had a vision of dog soldiers with Muppets. Like all Muppet version of dog soldiers.
Spoon is animal.
Of course, Ryan has to be Sam the Eagle.
Yes. It's a werewolf! Yay! I think.
Yeah. On to brains.
Can't fit a Statler and Waldorf.
No. Of course, Megan would be Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
On to brains.
On to brains.
Like I said, second time I've seen this one, I've loved it both times. Not a perfect movie, like we said, but damn good. I got to go 4.
That is exactly where I'm going with this, too. There's some flaws. You just kind of have to look around, but it's an enjoyable ride.
That's the thing. Just sit, don't think about it. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
It is definitely, you know, worth the to see at least once.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to come back and see it again for a while,
Give it some time. It's one of those movies like the Arnie movies. There's nothing to pick up the second viewing of them, but you go back to them once in a while just to have the fun.
And that's how it's done. So yeah, 4 brains for me.
So what have we learned?
Never bring a gun to a silver bullet fight. I don't know.
Okay. And I learned that sometimes campfire stories turn out to be true. So until 2 weeks from now, because we're taking next week off for Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving here in the U.S. So we're taking that week off. Don't know what we're doing yet. We haven't decided.
Well, we're taking the week after that too off.
Are we? Oh, okay. We'll discuss this later. I forgot about that.
Yes. We're doing a little Thanksgiving recess here.
So we're doing 2 weeks. Okay. And we'll be back in 3 weeks with something. We don't know yet what.
3, sir.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com. Check out the album art, the episode description. Links to Facebook, Twitter.
You never gave the number, did you, in the beginning?
In the poll. But we didn't have listeners submitted in the beginning.
That's true.
I didn't have an occasion to number. vote in the poll. Let us know what you think of this or any of our other movies that we've talked about. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com. Leave a comment on Facebook or on the blog. Or you can leave us a voicemail. Yes, the number is 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861.
Calls outside the Milwaukee County area do receive charges. I'm going to be in Milwaukee this weekend, but it'll be by the time this is aired, it'll be passed. Mm. So any Milwaukee listeners, no chance of hooking up.
I don't think we have enough fans for a meetup yet anyway.
What do you mean?
Anyway. Until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
All right, you bastards! Come on, have a go if you think you're not enough!
Why am I thinking of Carl Weathers? I don't know.